Hello again, everyone. Welcome to Cotton Grower Magazine's Cotton Companion Podcast. This is Jim Stedman, editor of Cotton Grower, and I'm joined again today by my colleague and good friend, Beck Barnes. Now, after what we hope are the last reminders of winter, after a solar eclipse, after a few days of predicted rain and maybe some more favorable temperatures, maybe growers in most part of the cotton belt should be looking at cotton planting here within the next few weeks. And for those of you who have started, and I'm looking at you out there in South Texas and Arizona, obviously we've already got an eye on you, and from what we can tell, things are already going well. Beck, what are you hearing?
Yeah, no, I mean, we got an eye on it. I feel like you just kind of glanced over the earth-shattering solar eclipse that we just had yesterday. I mean, especially those folks down there in Texas, I think they were on the path of totality. We were not here in Memphis. All I got out of the whole situation was a headache. It gave me a headache as I sat in my office yesterday. I did not have the cool shades in order to step out and look at it. I'm guessing you did not either, Jim.
Actually, I did.
You did.
I sat outside and, you know, looked at it and thought, well, this is cool. This is cool. But, you know, I've seen one before. So I think the next one is, you know, is what, 2044?
Yep.
You know, I hope. I'm not sure. I mean, it'd be nice to be around for that.
We'll do that one together. We had one when we were at the, this is really inside baseball, but there was one when we were at the office, like 4 or 5 years ago, was there not?
Yes, there was.
Okay. You know my memory. I didn't know if I dreamed that or it did happen. Okay.
Yeah. So, but anyway, we've got that out of the way for about 20 some years at least now. So, you know, we'll see if we can still remember that at that point. But, you know, regardless, we digress. We're going to climb back out of this rabbit hole. And let you know that on this podcast, we're here today to shed some light on one of the important but rarely highlighted cotton organizations, and that's the Cotton Foundation. And joining us here in a few minutes to explain the foundation, what they do, where they fit within the industry, and how they benefit the U.S. cotton industry is Dr. Chad Brewer. He's Vice President of Technical Services with the National Cotton Council and serves as Executive Director of the Cotton Foundation. So we know you'll want to stay tuned for that discussion.
Yeah, yeah, really, really neat discussion we had with Chad there. But first, Jim, our sponsoring partner, the American Cotton Shippers Association, has a brief message they'd like to share.
The American Cotton Shippers Association, also known as ACSA, is a trade association primarily made up of cotton merchants founded in 1924. ACSA members manage the majority of the world's cotton trade, providing services of merchandising, delivery logistics, and risk management to their customers. ACSA is proud to be celebrating its 100th anniversary this year. Join them in Scottsdale, Arizona in June 2024 for their centennial celebration event.
As always, a big thanks to our friends at ACSA for that message and for their support.
Well, you know, before we bring Chad into to our virtual Cotton Companion studio, you know that it's really a new planting season when USDA issues its first crop progress report for the year.
I cannot believe it's already
It's already out there, and it's really good to have that weekly monitor back to help us track planting and production throughout the season. Although let's face it, this first report doesn't offer a whole lot in terms of cotton progress. In fact, it's pretty modest at this point, as you might expect, but just to officially kick off the 2024 cotton growing season, the USDA report for the week ending April 7th shows that, believe this, Beck, 5% of the U.S. crop has already been planted. Now, to date, all of that is in Arizona and in southern Texas. The other 13 cotton belt states are remaining on hold for now, and obviously we'll keep you, dear listeners, up to date on this report as you and growers in other states join in here over the next 4 to 6 weeks and beyond through the rest of the season.
It's now our pleasure to welcome a longtime friend of Cotton Grower Magazine, that is Dr. Chad Brewer. We first met Chad during his 12-year tenure at Dow, which became during that time Corteva. And he was working then as a mostly as a cotton development specialist for much of that tenure, but we knew him as an extremely knowledgeable agronomist who was out there in the field. He was always patient and helpful to a couple of ag writers who were probably annoying him with requests all the time. But we know, too, that he has always been an asset to cotton producers in this country. In 2022, he joined up with the great folks over there at the National Cotton Council, where he came on as a consultant and then eventually as an assistant director for the U.S. Cotton Trust Protocol. And in January of this year, he switched roles there within the council and stepped in to become the executive director of the Cotton Foundation. And we are eager to talk with him about that position today in the foundation today. Chad, welcome to the Cotton Companion.
Hey, thanks for having me back. I appreciate it.
Yeah, man, we're happy you're here. I'm glad you're here. To be sure, Chad, we would be remiss if we did not acknowledge that the position that you have stepped into there at the Cotton Foundation, it came open due to the sad passing of Dr. Don Parker. Don was a tremendous servant of the U.S. cotton industry. He was a friend to every farmer in this country, and he did some amazing work, I know, both on the technical oversight, because I know that's a big part of the foundation gig, but also, and for lack of a better word, on the politicking side. He had to bring new foundation members on board and into the fold and make everybody see the common vision. Can you talk a little bit about the legacy that Don left there at the Cotton Foundation?
Well, I would be honored to. So I think the best way to tell that would be to tell about my first day in this particular role. So that would have been the Beltwide Cotton Conference. That was day one of this role that I'm in now. And I literally lost track of the number of people that came up to me and said, "Hi, my name's so-and-so. We were working with Don on this project. We will hope we can continue the work." I literally lost track of the number of people that came up to do that. Don spent so much of his time thinking about and planning and working toward advancing the cotton industry here in the U.S. And he, you know, literally touched, you know, he was an entomologist by training, but he touched every segment one way or another. We are still yet uncovering the amount of work that he was doing, things that we, most folks, had no idea he was working on. And so it's just, I'm tremendously grateful to be able to follow in Don's footsteps and continue the work that he had begun.
Yeah, no doubt, Chad. Now, I remember one thing when Don first started his role at the foundation. One big thing that he set out to do was changing kind of the public perception of what it is that the foundation does. I remember he came up to me very early on and said, "Beck, what do you think the foundation does?" And the answer that I gave him was comically wrong. But, you know, he recognized and acknowledged, well, that's, you know, that's on him to get the word out. So that in mind, can you briefly tell our audience what it is that the foundation does for our industry?
Well, I absolutely be glad to. So a little bit of backstory about the foundation. It was created in 1955, so it's been around for quite a while. It is a 501c3 organization, and it gives cotton agribusiness allies, so some of your basic input providers, a way to fund research or provide additional funding for research that might otherwise, you know, fall between the cracks. So that is essentially what it does. We accept proposals from all segments of the industry, everything from cottonseed oil to cottonseed bug. So we accept those proposals. It's voted on by our research committee and then brought forward to the foundation board. And then the money gets dispersed to all the different projects. So it really is a way for the industry to fund its own research.
Yeah. I know a couple summers ago, Don invited me to a summer meeting over there in Little Rock of the foundation. And it was so eye-opening for me, you know, just to kind of illustrate what you're talking about. I think One of the items on the agenda was there was a little outbreak of some sort of disease or something. Don't let me lie or scare anybody up.
Right.
My vague memory was, you know, there was some sort of disease that was popping up in a couple of counties down there in South Texas or something.
Mm-hmm.
And they thought it was a big enough deal that they needed to fund some research on it. And so the foundation funneled the dollars to keep that, put that fire out before it spread to the rest of the belt. You know, that's the type of thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And so that's one of the advantages of the foundation is we can be quick to react to emergencies in the industry. One prime example of that is the cotton seed bug that's out west, you know, in California. The foundation was the first entity to put money toward research on cotton seed bug in California. And then while we were garnering, you know, federal appropriations to go to the USDA ARS or USDA ARS and APHIS to do the research. So we injected some emergency funds, so to speak, and while we were buying time to gather up other federal funds. So it's quick to respond to needed research.
Yeah, and you mentioned the seed bug thing kind of right off the top there. Are there any other kind of specific projects or efforts going on that the foundation's working on today that you think our audience should know about?
Yeah. So we have a research component, some of the things like that, you know, the cotton seed bug, also doing some FOV4, which is, you know, the Fusarium disease, seedling disease. That's highly important to us. And then putting together a cotton disease compendium, we published that. And I'll tell you, one of the things that we also do is fund a pest loss survey. So different universities across the Cotton Belt contribute to that survey. So we can kind of quantify, for instance, how much a specific insect pest is costing the industry. That really helps us understand the economic impacts that some of the pests have. And we also have a educational component. For example, the endangered species strategies that the EPA is working toward. We will host those folks and tour the Cotton Belt and show them how cotton is produced in the different areas, help educate them on all of the cotton production practices. And we do that with the USDA and EPA both, so that as they go back and formulate policies, they have a better understanding of the impact of those decisions. So the foundation does a lot with research and education. We also, through the foundation, have an emerging leaders program where we educate some of the cotton industry's youngest members that or newer members that could be going into leadership positions, you know, in their further in their careers. So it's research and education, and we're really happy to be able to do that.
Chad, I know that we're getting ready to start a new planting season with you know most growers at least are getting ready. I think in South Texas and Arizona they're already on their way, and I think, you know, right now it seems like this year, just like the last couple of years, it may be a little challenging for a good part of the Cotton Belt. Are there any specific challenges that you see from the foundation's perspective that you're planning to tackle this year and maybe in the next couple of years?
Well, that's another good question. From a foundation perspective, we'll accept, you know, research proposals from all across the Cotton Belt. And each of us has our own ideas about what are the important topics. You know, given that we've had drought in West Texas for the last couple of years, although thankfully right now it's getting a little better, you know, I'm always interested in, you know, dryland cotton production, specifically out west, and how we can, you know, get better water use efficiency out that way. Other things that we're currently funding is a sustainability initiative with the University of Tennessee. So it's not just, you know, pests and killing bugs and weeds. We're also looking at ways to make the U.S. cotton crop maintain it as the most sustainable cotton crop in the world.
Yeah, Chad. And I know, of course, your background with the protocol kind of dovetails so nicely with that last bit there.
With the, yeah.
I want to talk a little bit, you know, aside from the technical stuff and you know, funneling the dollars where they could be most useful to the industry. I think another part of what y'all do there, a big part of what you do, is recruiting. And, you know, you're trying to bring new industry stakeholder brands into the foundation, demonstrate your value to them. Pretend that I am a medium-sized clothing brand here in the United States, or, well, maybe, a crop input brand. How about that?
Okay.
What would you say to me to make me consider becoming involved at the foundation?
That is, you know, I was literally talking about this with our staff just a few earlier today, because we want to involve everyone that is involved in U.S. cotton production. What I would say is that the key tagline for the Cotton Foundation is research and education. That's what we exist to do, and we drive the value to our foundation members by funding research that will directly impact their business. As the cotton industry grows and expands, it generally lifts everyone that is involved with it, and so that's what we're trying to do. And as I look around at the basic input providers, they lose quite a bit of revenue as the cotton industry begins to shrink. And so our main goal is to keep the industry thriving so that everyone that is involved in it does as well.
Very cool. Yeah. Rising tide floats all boats scenario.
Very, very much so. Yeah.
Okay, Chad, a last one, and then we'll let you get out of here. On a more personal note, the new position, since you got over there into the council and now you're with the foundation, I suspect you're doing more loafers and less boots these days. Now, will your work carry you back onto some farms here anytime soon? And do you miss getting a little mud on those boots on occasion?
So, yes, I'm currently wearing dress shoes and had to trade in my Justins. And it does hurt a little bit. So I really look forward to getting out in the field. I'm headed to South Texas next week. We got some cotton up down there. Going to take a look at the boll weevil eradication zones down that way. So I'm really looking forward to that. Also, we're going to be able to get some of the regulators out in the field and take some farm tours. So I do miss getting out in the field and solving agronomic problems, but hopefully that experience that I've got doing that can help me work in this new role. So I'm really enjoying it. I really think it's probably the best job I ever had.
Well, that's great. Yeah, you're still solving those agronomic problems, just a different office setting this time.
Right, a little different way. Yep.
Well, hey, man, we thank you so much for your time today. We know you are a busy man, and so good luck on all the important work you have in front of you with the foundation, and we hope to see you out there this year soon.
Sounds good. Thanks, Beck. Appreciate y'all having me on.
Well, that's it for this episode of the Cotton Companion Podcast. Thanks again to Chad Brewer for joining in on today's discussion. Thanks also to the American Cotton Shippers Association for their continued participation and sponsorship of the Cotton Companion. And as always, thanks to you, dear listeners, for joining us. We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you like what you heard, please be sure to spread the word and tell your friends about the Cotton Companion Podcast. Here's where and how they can find us.
You can find the Cotton Companion in three easy ways. First, go to cottongrower.com/companion or simply click the podcast tab at the top of the homepage. Second, subscribe to our channel on iTunes or wherever you find your podcasts these days. And three, sign up for our weekly e-newsletter, the Cotton Grower E-News, that's delivered to your email inbox every Tuesday morning. You can do that by going to cottongrower.com/subscribe. Also, be sure to follow Cotton Grower on social media. We are at Cotton Grower Mag on Twitter. And on Facebook, you'll find us by searching for Cotton Grower Magazine.
Cotton Companion Podcast is produced twice monthly by Tyler Hatch and Kim Henderson, our talented colleagues back at the world headquarters For Meister Media Worldwide in lovely Willoughby, Ohio, I'm Jim Stedman, he's Beck Barnes, and we'll be back with you in a few weeks, the next episode of The Cotton Companion. Until then, let's all get ready and stay safe. Farmer.
Yeah, he works and he works and he works and he works all